You.
Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, presented by Window World.
Hooray!
Brought to you in part by Yingling, America's oldest brewery, family-owned and operated since 1829. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals, Performance King Santa. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CVTS, a Cincinnati Bell Company, technology solutions for business. Miami Valley Gaming, get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing, choose a pro, choose Nixco. Lycans Energy Solutions, powered by Light Belterra Park, one amazing place to play. And by Ucrate.com for all your residential and commercial shipping needs.
Big playmaker came up and played big.
This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go, 606-700-WLW. This is the Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman on assignment tonight. So in his place, from Local12.com, Richard Skinner. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I want you to be honest, and I know you will.
Your voice
on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 is ultimate 100% voice, how bad do I sound right now?
No, I was here last year when my voice was going.
Yeah, you sounded awful.
I was about a 1.3 on that scale. I'll give you a 7.8.
Oh, okay, I'll take that.
It's not that
all right,
bad.
That's
it's
very
not
encouraging.
Bad.
All right, we have headlines, then we'll go. 700 WLW Bengals update. Bengals wrapped up practice today and about to board a flight, about an eight-hour flight to London this evening. Team will arrive at Heathrow Airport tomorrow morning and try to keep things as normal as possible. We'll get to the Bengals news of the day in just a second with Skinny. NFL tonight, the anticipation builds for the 3-4 Tennessee Titans hosting the 2-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. Catch the game on Fox Sports 1360. College football, Bearcats head to Philadelphia this weekend, trying to make it back-to-back wins with a win at Temple. Preview the game with the Tommy Tuberville Show. It follows us at 8 tonight. College basketball. It's the season debut of the Chris Mack Show. Get all things Xavier starting at 7. Catch the game on ESPN 1530. World Series travel day today. Series turns to Wrigley Field tomorrow night. Series even at one game apiece after the Cubs' 5-1 win last night. Game 3 tomorrow has Josh Tomlin for the Indians, Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. National League Park, no DH. Will Middletown's Kyle Schwarber play the field? No. Doctors advised against it today and did not clear him. He's been reduced to a pinch hitter for the next three games. Catch the game on ESPN 1530. 700 WLW Reds update. Rawlings announcing Gold Glove finalists today. No Brandon Phillips at second base, but Billy Hamilton in center and Adam Duvall in left. Other Reds news today. John Lamb. The Reds decide to designate him for assignment. They add right-handed pitcher Ariel Hernandez to the 40-man roster. And the MLB The Show video game announcing today that Ken Griffey Jr. will grace the cover of the 2017 edition. One more note today, two-time Olympic judo gold medal winner Kayla Harrison of Middletown, it's a Middletown theme to the sportscast, today signs a deal with the World Series of Fighting. She will compete next in MMA. For everything else you've missed today, do this. Check out my blog. Go to 700WLW.com. Blog is a service of 1-800-GOT-JUNK. If you've got junk, if you're moving, maybe simply remodeling, they'll take care of it. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. On the blog, my conversation with Butch Carter last night. I talked with Tim Knowles, a Bengal fan living in London, photos of the NFL experience in London, and new this afternoon, UC has released video of what their home in 2018 will look like, a newly renovated Fifth Third Arena. Take a video tour. It is spectacular. That's on the blog at 700WLW.com. All right, 2 hours to go tonight. We have prizes to give away. We have Rodney in the back with a box. Please drop name on the registration form. We've got a Yingling prize pack we're going to give away tonight. We also have some special commemorative Monday Night Football posters, Bengals Giants featuring A.J. Green and Odell Beckham Jr., those to be given away over the course of the next 2 hours from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. I'm starting to feel better. I'm starting to sound better in my own mind. Am I gaining a little bit of momentum, or am I going backwards?
Sure, as long as it's your own mind.
He's Richard Skinner. I'm Lance McAllister. Roundtable Show presented by Window World. Simply the best for less. Let's check traffic and weather together on 700 WLW.
From the Watson's new fall collection sale, Traffic Center, 50 remains closed to Lawrenceburg Road. The accident cleanup, you got a wreck north 71 left shoulder at Smith Edwards, a little slow behind it, then up the Kenwood Cut, southbound Reagan to Ridge, King to the tunnel. Accident Northern Avenue west to Burnett, Carolina Trace east to Flora Avenue as well. South 75 slow Lachlan to Mitchell from the Viaduct to the bridge, northbound really from the Viaduct off and on to Paddock, then GE to 275. Your next traffic update in 10 minutes. I'm Bruce Davis on 700 WLW.
Mostly cloudy skies gradually turn partly cloudy overnight, a low of 43. Tomorrow, sunshine returns with a high of 65. Sunny and warmer on Saturday, a high in the upper 70s. Then partly sunny on Sunday, a high still in the low 70s. Temperatures topping out in the 70s to start next week as well. That's the forecast from your severe weather station, News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, let's do this. 611 700 WLW, the Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister. Rocky has Appalachian State and Georgia Southern tonight, one of the ESPN outlets. So Richard Skinner, Skinny from Local12.com, all things Bengals each day. I guess the best news to come out of today is they're about to board the plane, maybe in the air at this moment. The best news is related to Andrew Whitworth. What is the latest?
Yeah, he was at least cleared from the initial stage of concussion protocol, which is going to allow him to travel. And I would think he actually practiced today as well, was a limited participant in practice. I think that also is a step forward that would signify he's going to probably play on Sunday. And you see it a lot of times, guys get a concussion on Sunday, they don't play the following Sunday. Jordan yeah. Reed of the Redskins, the tight end, he's missed the last couple of games because yep. of that. Now he's actually going to travel. So is Josh Norman. They're both going to travel, which indicates that they'll probably have a chance to play on Sunday as well, when it looked like Norman had no chance whatsoever. But yeah, Whit was interesting today because one of the things he talked about, And Jay Morrison of the Dayton Daily News and I went back and we tried to look and see when this happened.
Yeah.
He said that he cracked his helmet, actually shattered his helmet on a
wow.
play. We couldn't find the specific play. He got hurt early in the fourth quarter, came back for a couple plays, went out for another play, then came back for 10 more plays, then finally went out for good with about 5 minutes to go in the game.
Wow.
And I remember seeing him at that point sitting on the bench during the game itself. But yeah, to hear him talk about how his helmet cracked, you just don't hear a lot of players talk in those terms.
And you add in the flight, and there was the concern
right,
as the week
right.
unfolded, are they even going to let him get on a plane? So obviously, because I don't, what would, probably don't have to deal with it now, but what was Plan B going to be? What's a guess on what Plan B would have been?
They worked on Plan B Wednesday. We talked to Paul Alexander, the offensive line coach. They actually worked on Plan B. He wouldn't divulge who that player was. It was either Jake Fisher playing left tackle
yeah.
or Eric Winston playing left tackle. That was Plan B. So they did start to work on a contingency just in case. But it was interesting because normally when guys have concussion, and this is how scary concussion can be, you can see they're in a fog. I talked to A.J. Green right after the playoff, or right after the regular season finale in 14
Steelers.
In the Steelers,
yep.
when he was out of it, and I could tell right then and there he was a mess.
Wow.
And I was stunned they actually let us talk to him. And actually, after I got done, the PR staff walked up and said, "Did you talk to him?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "We're putting him in protocol. No one can talk to him anymore." Whit was actually ready to do interviews after the game Sunday, and then the PR staff said, "No, you're in protocol." And I think that that stage, and it wasn't like he was in a fog when he was doing that. I thought that was a good first sign.
Yeah.
The fact he was actually out there on Wednesday to walk around on the practice field, didn't dress for practice, and then today to come back that quickly, I think it shows you that there is levels of that where guys are dinged and rightly so put in the protocol, and then you go through the steps of the protocol, which allow you to determine, is a guy really bad off? Does he need to be in a dark room with dark sunglasses and be away from all of it? Or is it more or less, all right, he needs a couple of days. If he can step back into it, has no ill effects, then we can let him go ahead and clear him to play. So the fact he was cleared to fly, I'd be almost stunned if he doesn't play on Sunday.
Speaking of no ill effects, as Tyler Eifert had a chance to play last week, run around, get hit, get knocked down, get up, go back to the huddle, as this week progressed, is the sense that continues to ramp up to maybe a full-time Tyler Eifert this weekend?
Yeah, and he's been a full participant in both yesterday's practice and today's practice. You know, last week he was limited on Wednesday and Thursday. And those, for those who don't know, in the NFL, you come out of a game on Sunday. Monday is maybe a very light walkthrough, and usually it's really just guys getting their bodies back right. Tuesday is a mandatory day off. So Wednesday is really the first day of yeah. practice. And you have a regular practice Wednesday, a regular practice Thursday, then a walkthrough on Friday, and even a lesser walkthrough on Saturday. So Wednesday and Thursday are really the two big days. If guys aren't at least going limited in either one of those and maybe full, they usually don't play. Well, he was limited in both last week, was full in the walkthrough. The fact he was full these 2 days tells me you'll see more snaps. You won't see him probably play 100% of the snaps, but I think you'll get him back to closer 50, 60%. He took roughly 25% this last game, so I think it's a good sign that he was able to practice in full, because I think the ankle was ready to go when the back got hurt, and then the back got in the way, and that's what set him back.
Don't forget live entertainment, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, every Friday and Saturday night. Tomorrow night features the Menus at 8 o'clock, the Amy Saylor Band at 9 o'clock on Saturday night. As we continue, we're going to take a listen to a couple of Bengals talking about the London trip, and you're around these guys each day. I'd like, as we roll on, the vibe you got of how much of this is interesting, maybe neat to go to Europe versus kind of a pain in the rear that we have to do all this as we continue. Can we do that?
We can do it.
I'm feeling better.
You sound better now. I'm happy all right, for you.
There you go. I'm a gamer.
You are.
I am a gamer. It's the Roundtable Show. I'm something. Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Richard Skinner from Local12.com. Lance McAllister on 700 WLW.
It's London. Is this fun? Is it a pain in the rear? Is it just another game? How do you view London?
For us, it's just another game. We need this win to get back to 500. For our families that's going, it's fun. It's fun, and for us, it's going to be a pain in the rear because they're going to have our money over there just spinning away. The wife's going to be over there going shopping and stuff like that. So it's definitely going to be fun to get your family over there and let your kids see something other than America, stuff like that. But for us, it's just another week. They're in our way. We need this win as bad as any other game.
Brandon LaFell earlier this week talking about the trip to London. You're back on the Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Richard Skinner from Local12.com. Let me add one more into that mix, Skinner, then I want your reaction. Here's George Iloka talking about the prospects of playing in London on Sunday.
It's just a football game for me. That's how I'm approaching it. We get there, I think, Friday morning, and then straight to walkthrough. So, I mean, there'll be a little time, a little downtime, but it's nothing out of the ordinary. When we travel to our West Coast games, we leave around the same time anyway. So I'm not treating it like a bowl game, like, oh, I'm there to, like, go have super fun. During my downtime, I might leave the hotel for a little bit, but I'm not overly excited. I mean, I have the funds. If I really want to go to London in the offseason, I should really go. So, yeah.
George Iloka earlier in the week, Skinny Marvin's made it very clear. It's been funny, the word choice.
They're not going to London.
Yes, they're not going to London. Yes, it's a game against the Redskins. It's a business trip. And that clearly those were his talking points to his team and to the media from jumping this thing.
Yeah, and I think for the players, I think there is a small element of fun, especially if they have a chance to have family go and fun for them. But most of them have talked in those terms. If I want to go see London, I'm going to go in the off season and spend time, because they really don't. I mean, you hear them say that, and you're like, oh, come on, you're going to a cool. No, they just don't have a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, they are getting there. They're getting about 5 hours, but by the time they land, by the time they go to their first practice, and that's actually when the practice starts, they're suggesting to the players they sleep on the plane. They're trying to then get them reacclimated with an earlier practice, an afternoon practice, London time, which technically they're practicing in London time at 12:45, subtract 5 hours. So think about this. They are practicing at 7:45 a.m. Cincinnati time.
Ooh.
All right, they're trying to get themselves acclimated then to get out of that practice, get in then to a normal situation between practice, some media obligations because they're trying to promote the game over there. They're doing a team dinner, I think, at the Tower. I think that's one of the cool things they're trying to do. And then a walkthrough on Saturday, and then, you know, basically they got probably Saturday afternoon into evening off, and then you play on Sunday. Over there, obviously, they're playing at 2 o'clock roughly their time, 2:30 their time. You know, for a couple of them, I know they want to go to see a soccer game and maybe see a half of a soccer game because there's some soccer fans on the team. C.G. Uzama, Domantas Pekka's a huge soccer fan. Some of them want to do that, and I think they'll get a chance to do that. But I think for some of them, even with today, he said, you know, even on the road, no matter where I go, I don't go out of the hotel very much. And I think for a lot of them, it is a business trip only because it is the business that they are in. And because they just really don't have time to enjoy it. I think Marvin wanted it that way. And I don't blame it sounds like he's being a stick in the mud here. And, you know, some of the ways he's commented on this have been very stick in the mud-ish, especially the we're not going to London, we're going to play the Redskins. Well, of course you're going to London, and there's logistics involved with that. But I think he wants them to treat it like that. And I can't blame him. I mean, you know, you had 16 games, and you're trying to win all 16.
Yeah.
Got treated
that way. This is a home game that you lose.
Right, exactly, so. On top of everything. Yeah. Exactly right.
And it's not – I'd love to see the complete backstory to preparation for something like this, because this isn't a let's just snap our fingers, order some plane tickets, and go. It's been, 12, 18 months of planning and now executing.
Yeah, in fact, it was back in, I want to say August, it was training campish time where they actually sent some stuff already over there,
wow.
Some equipment already over there. But you can't send everything because you got right. Players got the shoulder pads, they got their helmets, and they got the uniforms, so that all has to go. And there was a little bit of pre-doing that, but don't forget they had a Sunday home game. They obviously had some practice time here. You know, some of those equipment guys, really, I was watching today, they looked tired because I know
imagine.
They've been working like
can't
crazy
imagine.
People trying to organize this. Then the logistics of making sure all the players got their passports, and they've done a good job. But from what I understand, one rookie was very late in the game. I don't
really?
Know who it was in getting their passport. So they did get it, but it was very late in the process of almost sweating it out whether or not the passport would come in time.
Wow.
So, yeah, those logistics, you don't think about all of those things, but they certainly come into play. And then on top of it for the Bengals, they really did a lot of help with helping, you know, the media members who were going by putting them on the team plane. And they do that for some, but not all mm-hmm. of us. A lot of us fly actually commercially when we go. Usually the TVs have a couple seats and
yeah.
whatnot, but I fly commercially when I go to cities. And I know a lot of my other writer friends, but they really did a good job to help get them on team planes, to get them over there, to defray some of the cost. I thought that was a very classy thing to do. So, there's a lot more than just going over to play a football game on a Sunday.
Do I understand correctly? The Bengals are the home team,
yes.
So the scoreboard is control. It's like a Bengal scoreboard.
Yeah,
is that your understanding?
I believe
of that?
That is
yeah.
correct. I mean, that's.
And I also heard the press box. You sit outside.
Outside.
Have
it
you
is
heard
an,
that?
It is
wow.
an outdoor press box. That part I do know for sure. Now, I think the weather certainly. It's funny because I've covered games. I used to cover Kentucky, and I covered games in the Southeastern Conference. And those outdoor press boxes are fine because even in November in Gainesville, Florida, it's still pretty doggone warm. Or in Athens, Georgia, it's still pretty warm. I did cover a couple of high school finals in Kentucky in a press box in Bowling Green, which is open in 30-degree weather. That is not fun. Wembley, if it's, you know, 55 degrees, you might be a little uncomfortable. I'm sure they have some heating lamps. At least I hope they do, because
yeah.
I'm sure they've dealt with some of the chill before. But, yes, it's supposedly it's an outdoor press box.
He's Richard Skinner, Local12.com. Time to review last week's Performer of the Week, brought to you by Performance Kings Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. We'll go with A.J. Green. That's a no-brainer. 8 catches on 8 targets, 169 yards, the touchdown of the Hail Mary, a one-handed catch. He did it all. He is our Performer of the Week, the Performance Kings Honda Performer of the Week. When we come back, let's talk about the playoff picture that has certainly started to clear a little bit. It doesn't look as murky as it once did because at 3-4 in this division, maybe the wild card is going to be a challenge, but this division it's in play, is it not?
It is amazing how it changed from going into the New England game with the full knowledge you were probably, even if you played well, you were going 2-4, and watching the Steelers that day likely go to 5-1,
yep.
not only not go to 5-1, lose their quarterback, and suddenly 2 weeks later, here you are one game back. It has changed big time, and really now you kind of control your own destiny
yeah.
when it didn't look like that was going to be the case for a while.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that as we continue. Richard Skinner, Local12.com. I'm Lance McAllister. Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on the home of the best Bengals coverage, 700 WLW. 635, 700 WLW, the Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Richard Skinner from Local12.com. He's in for Rocky tonight, who's on assignment with an ESPN game. Following us tonight, Tommy Tuberville Show from 8 to 9. Tommy G, Tommy Galetter in for Dan Horde, who is in the air at this moment, going to London, of course, to call the game with Dave Lapham. Then 9 to midnight tonight, Sterling here on the big one. We were talking about this playoff picture and the race that they are certainly in the division. There is a huge difference, though, and Marvin was asked about this on Wednesday, between hitting your bye week at 3-5 on a loss here as opposed to 4-4 on a win. How you feel and what it means in the division. 4-4, that becomes very doable,
no doubt,
in the final 8 games, does it not?
No question. And obviously Pittsburgh and Baltimore both have byes, and they
yep.
hook up
and then play yes,
in Baltimore. So conceivably, if Baltimore holds serve, you have them going both to 4-4. You then, against New York, would be playing for a chance to get into a first-place tie with a 5-4 record. So it's huge psychologically, too, just to fight your way back to that even
yes.
mark with the week off. You know, suddenly 3-5, you're still chasing 2 more wins just to get back to 500. Suddenly 500, especially if you're then tied in the loss column
yes.
for first, psychology of the moment's right in front of you. You're tied for first, period, end of story.
And realistically, when we talk about stacking wins, and at the start of the year you're thinking, can they get to 11 or 12, get home field throughout, then you knock it down, can they get to 10? I don't know now, the way the Steelers are and the way the Ravens have faded, Could nine win the AFC North?
Yeah, I do a column on Tuesdays, just 10 takeaways kind of from the game before with some quotes and just even spinning it ahead. And that was one of the things I looked at is, all right, is 9-7 enough to win the division? If it is, and I think it conceivably is, and some of this is obviously based on Ben because the reports continue to be, is it now 4 weeks or is it going to be, well, he might be back after their bye week because that's just the way Ben rolls.
Yes.
But then it's any game or any play now, he could go down again and suddenly so do their chances. So he's such a wild card in all this. But let's assume that 9 wins does it, if that's what we're going to work off of. You know, Bengals are favored this week and probably would be favored in 5 other games the rest of the way. And that would be Washington, or the Buffalo game at home, Philly. You can argue with me on that if you want, but it's at home, and I think the Bengals would probably be favored at Cleveland. Cleveland won't be favored in another game the rest of this year. The Pittsburgh game, again, because it is at home, and then the Baltimore game at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So that's 6 games. Now, are you going to win all 6? Maybe not, but then you got a couple of 50-50 games on top of it. The Giants game in New York is not an impossible game for the Bengals to win. The game at Baltimore is not an impossible game for them to win. And really, Houston's been a better team at home. They've been, you talk about Jekyll and Hyde. At home, they are one team. On the road, they are completely a different bad team. So that might be a little bit tougher, but it's not impossible. It's not like you're playing Denver, New England, or Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, teams that have arguably been the best in the AFC this year, at least when they've had all their guys healthy.
Yeah, I mean, and realistically, we said, many said at the start of the season, the first month was a matter of survival.
Right.
You were going to be without Tyler Eifert. If you could get through the first month without being sunk, you'd be okay, and they're not sunk.
No, it felt like it was close to it. That's the loss to Dallas is the one because it just felt like it's a rookie quarterback, and boy, it's been a cute little story for them. Look what they've done. And then not only did Dallas beat you, they handed it to you. They ran all over you. The rookie looked great. Your team did not. Your team barely had to escape getting shut out in the fourth quarter, got a couple of garbage touchdowns, and that's where – with the New England game looming, knowing they could play better and they're still probably not going to win in New England. Sitting at 2-4 off of those two losses didn't feel good. You know, suddenly you get back to 4-4 after this week, and if you can do it, you can take a deep breath and go, all right, we survived the toughest wave of the year. You know, you look again, as you look at this, I mentioned the teams you'd be favored against, but also the teams that would be above 500 or in first place. It's really right now Pittsburgh and Houston for the most part. So you're in a much better spot than you were those first 8 games.
All right, up next, be prepared. Get prepared for this.
Fight,
I want to ask you why this defense isn't as good as last year's defense.
It's a multifaceted answer, but it's a good question.
All right, we'll explore that as we continue. Richard Skinner, Local12.com. I'm Lance McAllister, Roundtable Show, Belterra Park Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. It's all presented by Window World. Something the best for less on 700 WLW. 644, 700 WLW, the Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? Yingling, America's oldest brewery, family-owned and operated since 1829. We thank Yingling for the prize pack we give away each week. We have registration going on in the back corner. We also thank them for presenting the webcam. You know, you're on the Yingling webcam. Hello, webcam. Lance McAllister, Richard Skinner from Local12.com. This team a year ago was number 2 defensively in the league, had their best defensive season in franchise existence. This year they are tied for 18th. They're giving up about 7 more points per game. Why? Let me give you a starting point. That's a very open-ended.
I think it's an open-ended question.
Okay.
And it deserves an open-ended
question.
What if
I started with how much do they miss Reggie Nelson?
That's part of it. And that's not a knock on Sean Williams.
Right.
I think part of it is there's just enough newness there where guys aren't used to each other, and this always sounds like an excuse, and it can be at times, that there are guys that are trying to do too much. And you hear it, and it sounds cliche-ish when Marvin gives you the just do your job.
Yep.
But if you try to do someone else's job and you're not in the place to do your job or be in the right gap, be in the right run fit, be in the right spot, you're out of there because you're trying to make up for someone else, that becomes an issue. So that's one of it. And again, I think Sean's role, Sean's a good player. He's not Reggie Nelson.
Reggie's been there, done that.
Absolutely.
There's a savviness to him.
No question.
Sean will come in time, you would think.
That's right.
You know, even George told us on George Iloka Monday night, said there have been times where he would just make eye contact with Reggie Nelson, they knew exactly what they're doing. And he said Darquez and Josh Shaw came to him even back in camp and said, "Dude, you got to tell us that. We don't know your your nod or your wink or your hand motion. You got to explain that to us. And George said that was a big lesson for him to learn.
No doubt.
It was new.
Well, okay, and that's part of it, too. You also have now new nickel guys, whether it is Josh Shaw, whether it is Darquez Dennard. You've then had a little injuries in games where Sean's been out and De'Ron Smith's been in. So there's another new body thrown into the mix.
Great point.
Carlos Dansby is a new guy into the mix. And Carlos has even talked about there's been times he didn't communicate the way he should have and should over-communicate. You didn't have Vontez for a period of time. Now he's back. So, again, it sounds excusey. That's only one of the issues, though. I think there is some personnel issue involved as well. I don't think Carlos Dansby's playing very well.
No.
And some of it, maybe it is him trying to do too much. Maybe it is him simply not completely knowing where he's supposed to go. Maybe not communicating properly. But
maybe age has caught up with
him. The eyeball test tells me that age has probably caught up to him a little bit. I think some of it is you predicate a lot, and Paul Gunther says it. They go as that front four goes. Geno Atkins hasn't been the Geno Atkins of 2015. Nope. He's been the Geno Atkins of 2014. That's an okay player.
Yeah.
That's not a bum. But the Geno of last year and the Geno before he got hurt in 14 or 13, but then came back in 14, was just the Hall of Fame level guy. I'm not seeing Hall of Fame level guy. I'm seeing guys get pushed around at the point of attack. And it's funny, we had a chance to talk with Paul Gunther on Monday, and I said, are you getting what you want consistently? He said, no, not at all, not even close consistently at the point of attack. I asked Marvin the same thing. Marvin said, oh, we're fine at the point of attack. We've been fine the last two games. Well, okay, no, you really haven't, but I wanted to see what your answer was going to be to that question. The eyeball tells you that some of that, but then when you're getting beat at the point of attack and certain guys are trying to do too much in the next level, that's why you're getting gashed for some big running plays.
Yep.
Now, listen, the Kevin Hogan read option stuff completely took everybody by surprise. They finally fixed that, and once they fixed that smoke and mirror show, that was over with. So that was part of, when you look at the yardage given up in that game, some of that was really gimmicky stuff, but give Hugh credit, it worked for a period of time. But overall, I think the problem with the defense is again, it's a multifaceted answer. And I think the other one is you lost a lot of coaches. You have
new coach at D-line, new coach at linebacker, new coach in the secondary.
The coordinator's the only – and look, the coordinator's a big part of that.
Yep.
But, it's not things that they can fall back on where he can just know to go to Vance Joseph and go, hey, you remember we did this a couple weeks ago, or we did this last year in week three against the team that does this. You don't have that frame of reference. So – it takes some time, and you're seven games in. You can say that they should be a further ahead, but maybe not. Maybe they are exactly where they should be, and then the hope is they continue to little by little as this year goes along gets better. So when you ask me, no, it is a multifaceted answer. It's a lot of different things. It is personnel. It is performance. It is execution. It is newness, and it is newness in the coaching staff. That's a lot. We're not just talking about one thing. That's a lot, and I think it all adds up to what, and plus, playing Tom Brady is one thing, playing that offensive line in Dallas is another, but you've also played a couple, three rookie quarterbacks that have toasted you. I mean, Cody Kessler was off to a pretty good start
the other day
before he got hurt.
Was.
Dak Prescott was, they didn't need him to do much, but what they asked him to do, he was really good. Trevor Siemian was really, really good what they asked him to do, so that's a little frustrating, too, to see three rookies that really kind of performed way better than they should have against your defense.
Up next, James Rapine one-on-one for a couple of minutes with Carlos Dansby on that defensive theme. He's Richard Skinner. I'm Lance McAllister. Roundtable show presented by Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, or presented by Window World. We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, 650 on 700 WLW. Closing in on 7 o'clock, the Roundtable show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, presented in part by Hearing Solutions, helping you listen to what you are missing. Lance McAllister, Richard Skinner, Local12.com. Each week, James Rapine goes one-on-one in the locker room. And this week, we'll get a defensive player in this hour, maybe an offensive player in hour number two. But James catches up with Bengals linebacker Carlos Dansby.
James Rapine in the Bengals locker room with linebacker Carlos Dansby. Carlos, traveling to London, have you ever been there before?
Nah, man. Especially not to play no football, it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be a cool trip, real cool trip.
Are you excited for the 8-hour flight?
Oh, man, part of the process. You have no choice but to be excited, I guess. Ready to get out there, man, if we can go ahead and get this game going, and get back. Get back.
Yeah. You say get back. I know 3-4 is not where you thought this team probably would be after seven games. How important is it this week to get to 500 before the bye?
Oh, man, it's huge, man. It's huge, man. It's a stepping stone to where we want to go. Here in the near future, man. So this is the first game up, and we got it's a must win for us. We got to get back balance and then take steps to position ourselves to be where we want to be in the end.
Do you guys look at the standings or anything like that, knowing that you gained a game on everyone in the AFC North the other day?
No, we didn't even check that out, man. We're not even worried about that, man. We're just trying to get this next game.
Yeah.
We trying to get back 500, man. We want to get, you know, just get in position, man. And like I said, just try to be there when it's all said and done.
I know Paulie G's talked about it's just been one little breakdown here on defense or one there. Is that what you're seeing as well in the locker room on defense?
Without a doubt, man. We all see it. And like I said, we all taking turns at it. You know what I'm saying? It's one guy here, one guy there. It's one guy here, one guy there. And we just got to be more consistent at doing the little things right. And once we do that, man, we'll be able to have a lot more success on defense, make more plays, and be more opportunistic.
You've been in the league for a while. What do you say to some of the younger guys, to the 3-4 start or the 2-4 start? And do you say anything to them?
No, man, it's a process, man. Everybody got to respect it. We got to respect our journey, you know what I'm saying, and respect our process. And, you know what I'm saying, it's not going to be the same road it was last year. It's going to be a little bit different, you know. And year in and year out, you have to take that kind of approach. And you have to prepare for that, you know what I'm saying. And like I said, I think the guys, they understand that now. And like I said, we just got to get there a different way now.
Carlos Dansby with James Rapine. James has more on his blog at 700WLW.com. Would it be fair to say across the board, and I looked at the Pro Football Focus numbers, and you can take them for what they're worth, and there's different ways of looking at them, but I looked at numbers a year ago and where they are right now, and the biggest drop-off performance-wise have come from Perfect, Maluga, and Dansby, taking what he did with the Browns last year. Those three have had this most significant drop-off from their performance a year ago, and all three of those are linebackers.
Yeah,
Vinny Ray's been very good, but the other three.
Yeah, and Vontaze has made some tackles, but he's been out of
yes.
plays a lot of times. I mean, he really and truly has run himself out of plays. Maluga just can't get on the field. I mean, he's not a nickel guy, and they obviously today's day and age there's so much nickel that's
yeah.
played. And again, the eyeball. The one thing the Pro Football Focus does is, and you're right, coaches don't like it because it gives us empirical evidence to use. It really does. It gives the fan empirical
yes,
evidence
yes.
to use. It's a thing with a grain of salt, but it usually is one of those ones, if your eyeballs tell you one thing, here are some numbers that can back it up. The funny part is, they've actually given Russell Bodine a better grade
yes.
than what I think any of us would have
yes.
believed. But it hasn't graded Abuehi very well, and the eyeballs suggest Abuehi hasn't played very well. But, no, Carlos Dansby, man, he's not playing as well. He should be, man. You know that man? I like the fact that he uses man.
He's an interesting dude.
I like him a lot.
How about his food? Takes his food everywhere in the plastic bag.
And I don't know if you shared the story on your show. I know you shared the story about the food stuff. But when he came here a couple of years ago when the Bengals were courting him as a free agent, not this time.
Yeah.
I think Paul Gunther took him to dinner, took him to a nice – might have taken him downtown to a nice steak place. He ended up bringing his own steak with him and actually said, here, can you cook this for
me? Can you put this on the grill
That's
for
tremendous.
Me? That's beautiful. All right, 1 hour in the books, much more to get to. I want to talk Redskins, what Marvin said about Jay Gruden this week, what Jay said about the Bengals this week, and kind of the position Jay was in when he got here that I don't think people – I think we lose track of what he had to deal with and how well he dealt with it. We'll do that as we continue. Richard Skinner, Lance McAllister, Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, presented by Window World. Something the best for less on the home of the best Bengals coverage, 700 WLW.
Like good old-fashioned smash-mouth football, right?
This is the Roundtable Show, live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, presented by Window World.
Hooray!
Brought to you in part by Yingling, America's oldest brewery, family-owned and operated since 1829. Papa John's, the official pizza of the Cincinnati Bengals. Performance King's Honda. They'll put a smile on your face. Every customer, every vehicle, every day. CVTS, a Cincinnati Bell company. Technology solutions for business. Miami Valley Gaming. Get ready to get lucky. The Healthcare Management Group, providing greater care for greater Cincinnati. Nixco Plumbing. Choose a pro. Choose Nixco. Likens Energy Solutions, powered by Light Belterra Park. One amazing place to play. And by Ucrate.com for all your residential and commercial shipping needs.
Big playmaker came up and played big.
This is 700 WLW, the home of the best Bengals coverage.
And away we go. Hour number two, the Roundtable Show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Lance McAllister, Rocky Boyman is on assignment tonight. He has an ESPN game tonight. He'll be back next week in his place. Richard Skinner from Local12.com on the Bengals beat and on the beat of all things sports for Local12.com. Kind enough to hang out tonight. A reminder, I should have mentioned this in the first hour, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill is open at 9 a.m. on Sunday, 9 a.m. in advance of a 9:30 kickoff for the Bengals and the Redskins. Redskins means Jay Gruden, former Bengals offensive coordinator. We were joking. Marvin showed He showed a sense of humor. He laughed. He was light and funny talking about Jay Gruden earlier this week. Take a listen. Marvin went asked earlier this week what he liked when he first decided to bring Jay on as Bengals offensive coordinator.
Just his knowledge in the game. I mean, we, you know, met for hours and hours and hours, and he's a football junkie. And, you know, I was having a conversation with his brother and with John, and JG says to me, you should talk to my brother. I go, hell, I didn't even know you had a brother. You know, we worked together for 2 years, and I didn't know John had a brother. And so, yeah. So, but anyway, so it was great. It was, you know, we were able to get together and sit down and talk initially the first time for about 3 hours, and then next time we talked for about 7 hours. And, you know, I just felt like it was what he wanted to do, and it was a good fit for us at the time. He had another couple of offers on the table, but he, you know, his initial thing is, he's coming here. He's got Carson Palmer and Chad Johnson and maybe Terrell Owens. I mean, you know, whoops, no, not so fast there. That was after. Smarter than that. No, but that was the great thing about Jay. Jay had he was so appreciative of the opportunity that guys had of playing NFL football. And he was going to take whatever you gave him and make the best of it. And that was the cool thing about him. I mean, where a lot of guys might have sulked about it or whatever, we pressed forward. And I think that was key. And that's what he's done. He's obviously done that in Washington. And he's got that kind of personality, that kind of resilience to his personality.
Marvin Lewis earlier this week, that was really good stuff for Marvin. And he does.
I think he didn't know he had a brother.
Yeah.
Let alone, he coaches? And he coaches offense?
And he paints the picture as it was. I mean, it was dreary at that time. I remember people debating whether the Bengals would go 0-16 that season, Andy's rookie season.
That was the reboot.
There was chaos. It was the reboot. There was a lockout. There was no – and he becomes the offensive coordinator for a team introducing a lot of new guys, unproven guys, and he made that thing work.
Yeah, and you know, people can think what they want of Andy, obviously, but Jay was really a guy that was watching tape and went, have you seen this kid from TCU? He doesn't miss a throw.
Yep.
I mean, he was really in his corner from the get-go and was proven very much right. Again, we can argue all the semantics of the playoffs and all that, but, I mean, he has been proven right. Last year stuck his neck out for Kirk Cousins, just stuck it out for him. It could have been a disaster. He could have, if that had failed, he would not be
yes.
Washington's coach
yes.
today.
That's a great point.
It succeeded to the point where they made the playoffs and really proved him again right. So he's a guy that didn't – it's not just the last name that got him the gig. I mean, he cut his teeth in the Arena League as a player, as a coach, and kind of worked his way up. And I think very much is appreciative of what he's got. And he's obviously done a very, very good job. Was a good, very good offensive coordinator. And he's done a very good job as a head coach.
Yeah, he got there were times when he was here, you wondered if he'd forgotten how to run the football.
No, he liked to pass.
Yeah, he got a little squirrely sometimes
with
that.
I would tell you the San Diego playoff
yes,
loss,
yes.
some of that's in his feet. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but it's just he came into a difficult situation. He made it work. And, you know, Andy's in a position now where, and we can talk about Andy mm-hmm. as well here, for all the issues they have faced, from the offensive line, the running game struggles, to no Tyler Eifert, new wide receiver in Boyd, for all that's gone on in and around all that, Andy Dalton's been pretty damn good this year, hasn't he?
It's been lost, and that's the thing. And I get it. I mean, you're a sub-500 team, and he's the starting quarterback. But he also was a starting quarterback at one point, was, what, 52-25-1, and got very little credit
yep.
for being
yep.
a winning quarterback. Now he's a successful quarterback stat-wise, and you know, some of the numbers since the start of last year are pretty much off the charts. He's thrown over 600 passes in the last 19, 20 games after Sunday, starting with the first game of last year. He's thrown 9 interceptions.
Wow.
He's had a passer rating in that span of 101.8. I'm doing that off the top of my head. It's definitely over 100. And we're not talking about a two-game span. We're talking about a 20-game stretch of yeah, he's had a couple of bads, but he's had a lot of goods. I think he's been over 113 times in those 20 games. The numbers really make you go, wow, and just the eyeball test too. You know, he's taken a couple of sacks, but he's also thrown the ball away so many times. I thought the New England game, I know some people pointed the finger at him, and you might have been one of them, and that's fine. They blamed him for the sack. I will tell
the
you.
The safety sack,
yeah. And I still think Jeremy Hill missed the block, but there were a lot of other times in that game where he literally would chuck a shoulder one way, get out of pressure, keep a play alive,
yep.
And he's done that a lot this year. He scrambled at opportune times this year. But I think it's been lost. And again, I get it. You're 3-4. It's a sub-500 team. He's a starting quarterback, but it's not because of his performance that they're 3-4. He's played very, very well.
Yeah, his accuracy. We talked with Brandon LaFell Monday night, and obviously LaFell caught passes from Brady and was speaking so highly of his accuracy to the point. And I've never heard a receiver describe it this way. He said, I have a trust in Andy that if he throws the ball low, that's for me to catch and get down.
Right.
He's going to throw to that window. He's not going to get me blown up. He's not going to send me over the middle. If the pass is, you know, chest high in stride, I know there's running room. If it's low and I go down, that means I stay down because he's throwing me away from where the contact is.
No, that's well said, because there were times, you know, even the last few years where Andy would sometimes throw guys into trouble.
Yes, yes.
Now he is. It's the term of throw a guy open, and he does that. And it's funny, that if you remember, the one of the touchdowns Gronkowski caught in against the Bengals was like a little 4-yard flip, but Brady threw it almost straight to the ground.
Yes.
And Gronkowski
yes.
knew to dive to catch that football. And I think that is a trust factor of knowing, hey, he's not hanging me out to dry. He's throwing it there, oh, because there might be somebody
yep.
over this shoulder. I need to get down because that's where he's throwing the football to. And I think that's well said on Brandon LaFell's part.
This season, for every Kevin Huber punt down inside the 20-yard line, EverDry Waterproofing will make a charitable donation in Kevin's name. EverDry Waterproofing, they'll fix it permanently. Kevin had two punts, averaging 44.5 yards in this past game. Let's preview tonight's game, brought to you by Carry Toyota, best in town, carrytoyota.com. Jacksonville at Tennessee, the Jaguars 2-4, the Titans 3-4. What is there's a group of you who have, like, Jaguar running
no,
conversations. This involves around a bet? Is that what it is?
Paul Daner Jr. and I worked together at the Enquirer. We covered the Bengals together in 2014. And last year, I took another job, and he stayed with the Enquirer. So we were in Oakland the night before the opening game last year, and we'd probably had a couple of beverages too many and started running our mouths a little bit. Well, for some reason, he has this insane love of the Jaguars. And he started running his mouth about them making the playoffs. And I said, Paul, come on. They're not making the playoffs. He said, well, let's make a bet. I said, you want to bet on the play? He goes, well, I don't want to go that far. He goes, how about we make a bet that they win 7 games? I said, okay, that sounds fine to me. So we made a bet of dinner at the precinct on this, which we both woke up the next day and go, did we really just do that? It started with like a 6-pack of beer. Into lunch, into a decent dinner, into the precinct. So, of course, I said, okay, so let's go ahead and do it. Well, if you recall, they came close to getting that. In fact, needed to win the last three. So it really became a running joke. Ended up, I won the wager. So we decided to escalate it a little further this year. So I'm a big Hugh Jackson fan. I think the world of Hugh, and I thought Hugh would be able to go up there despite all the issues. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if you want to take the Jaguars again, I said, I'll take Hugh, and I'll take Cleveland over whatever the line is. You know what the line for Cleveland is this year for wins, by the way?
What is it now?
4.5.
Oh.
You know, I'm not sure if I took this bet and said, can we take this through 2018, that I would have a shot to win the over 4.5. Well, that's for dessert. Appetizers are another one where we've got a pool of coaches that we've each picked
you
to get
need
fired.
Help.
And then the main entree again is the Jaguars. Well, tonight's game, it's funny because we were going back and forth on Twitter, that group of us today, where the owner's not happy right now, where somebody else put out that said the Jaguars are in such disarray that they have zero chance of winning tonight's game. And so he's in a tough spot because he knows he's probably done himself a disservice. Yet. I thought, you know, dessert, I'll live with that so I get a rooting interest for Hugh. And yet I fully know that I've turned the page on that. I have no chance.
You are a degenerate.
I do have Gus Bradley to get fired first, though, and that's trending well.
Up next, let's get into A.J. Green. How good is he? Is he the best receiver in the game? And I thought you posed a very interesting thought. Would the Bengals trade him straight up for any other wide receiver in the game?
And there's a difference there, but that's
yes,
a good one.
That, yes, as we continue. Richard Skinner from Local12.com on the Bengals beat. I'm Lance McAllister, Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park on 700 WLW. Let's check the odds for this week's games, presented by Rising Star Casino and Resort. Play, stay, and get away at Rising Star Casino and Resort in Rising Sun, Indiana. Bengals a 3-point favorite in London. Total of 47.5 in that game. Steelers on the bye. The Ravens are on the bye. Those two, as Skinny mentioned, will hook up next Sunday in Baltimore. The Browns, a 3-point home underdog to the Jets this weekend. Richard Skinner, Local12.com. Lance McAllister, Roundtable Show brought to you in part by Hawksworth Blood Centers. Hawksworth donors save lives. Who will you save? A.J. Green. The performance was spectacular. And the thing I love about A.J. Green, and I've always loved about him, and you're around him much more than I, but it's very clear he's a humble guy. There's no diva. There's no Odell Beckham antics of running through the end zone and doing high jumps. He expects greatness. He practices for greatness, and as it's been said before, when your best player is one of your, if not your hardest workers, you got something going on.
Yeah, you'll hear Marvin in camp a lot of times tell AJ, stay on your feet. He'll dive for balls in camp, which you don't need to dive for a ball. Yeah. It's camp. I mean, you might remember, what was it, like 3 or 4 years ago, the very first day he dove, and it put a huge scare into him. So they have to constantly remind him not to do that, and even to stretch out sometimes, because then you try to work on getting your footwork in and camp, and who knows what can happen. But it's funny along those lines. We were talking to him today about Josh Norman, and at the time, it was before we knew Josh Norman had been cleared, but it was still, you know, the potential of matching up with him and about the way he acts. And I said, is there ever a corner that can get under your skin? I said, somebody's got to. He said, nope. He said, they can keep talking. He said, and they might win. He goes, but guess what? They won't be talking by the end of the game. And he really is. I think he understands that they. And the one thing I'll give him credit, he said, look, he goes, and I'm not blaming Odell Beckham for the way he plays or Josh. He said, if that's what takes them to get motivated, it's not me. It's not the way I'm wired. Yep. It's not the way I am. And he does. He carries himself with a lot of class and dignity in that regard. And it is. He's true to himself. But there's an intense passion for playing well for him. I mean, he really desperately wants to win and play well. And the Hail Mary was spectacular. The one-hand catch up to some. I mean, he had two catches for 96 yards with literally his right hand and right hand only. Think about how many receivers didn't catch 96 yards worth of footballs on Sunday with two hands and 10 targets. He caught them with one hand on two of those. But it's just the consistency. Yeah, he'll drop one every fifth game. Everybody's going to drop one. But he makes so many big plays for them despite getting constantly, you know, multi-covered, whether it's bracketed or whether it's over the top or whether it's linebacker under and a guy man and a guy deep. Yep. And he doesn't complain about it one iota.
You posed the question, Local12.com, in one of the many pieces you've written this week. And tell me if my phrasing is correct. You wondered if the Bengals would trade him straight up for any other wide receiver in the entire NFL right now. And you said, probably not.
Probably not. And look, you can argue that you posed the question before we went to the break. Is he the best receiver in the NFL today? He's not more productive than Antonio Brown, although Antonio Brown, when you look at the targets, he's had 115 more targets over the last 3 years than A.J. has. And that's, again, design of offense, design of what they do. Julio Jones' body type is maybe a little more physical and dynamic. I could put Julio Jones in the conversation. But when you pose it of who would you trade him for as a wide receiver, look, I like Antonio Brown. I have nothing against Antonio Brown. I wouldn't trade him for Antonio Brown.
I would not either.
I wouldn't trade him for Julio Jones either, and I like Julio Jones a lot. I think he's terrific. Beckham probably has the best raw skill set of any of them, but
I wouldn't touch him. We've seen
that circus before. And that's where AJ gives you everything you want. And it's funny, you watch him in that locker room, he doesn't interact a ton with guys. It's not like he's staying on. Guys gravitate. You can tell, though, he is the man. He is the man, and you've been in there enough. He's kind of the guy that everybody just kind of occasionally talks to, and he gives him a little bit of good-natured grief now and again, and just says the funny thing at the right time. He's kind of the guy in there, and it's interesting just to watch how he is. He's the one guy that nobody's going to really mess with because they know what he does for them.
The way it is played out, Brandon LaFell has turned into, I don't want to say the perfect, but a pretty darn good compliment to him, considering what they lost and how they had to approach it in free agency.
Yeah, in fact, I did that this week in kind of a similar story of how he is turning into a good compliment. You know, there was some hand wringing over losing Marvin Jones, and I get the hand. The guy still has a chance to be a great wide, not just good, but a great wide receiver. But you can't pay everybody. I think everybody assumes you can always pay everybody. You can't pay everybody, so they decided, got to let him go. We're going to put our money somewhere else. They re-signed Adam Jones with that money decided to allocate it there and thought, okay, we can get somebody else in. Early in the year, it looked like, okay, maybe this wasn't going to work. The last few weeks, it started to. And if you look at his numbers as they sit here today, he is on pace to do exactly in receptions and yardage. In fact, actually a little bit more, not by a
64
ton.
64 catches
for 850 something like
and
that.
Nine touchdowns.
Yeah, the nine touchdowns would double what Marvin Jones did last year. And yet, you know, I think people look at Marvin Jones is probably more dynamic.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, Brandon's caught some deep balls and turned
absolutely.
Into some. I mean, the back-to-back reception Sunday, the one where he dove over the middle,
yep.
followed it up with a great double move and absolutely juked the corner out and caught that little corner out or that deep corner out for a touchdown. He's become very, very good.
Up next, would a full-time team in London work in the NFL? Mm. Or are they doing it right with a rotation of different teams?
Or how about we don't do it at all?
Or we don't do it at all. That to be debated as we continue the Roundtable Show. Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, all presented by Window World. Richard Skinner, Local12.com. I'm Lance McAllister on the home of the best Bengals coverage, 700 WLW. 735, 700 WLW, the Roundtable Show. Tommy Tuberville Show follows at 8 here on The Big One. Then Sterling in for Rocky tonight, 9 to midnight. Rock on assignment has an ESPN game tonight. Visit Belterra Park Gaming this Saturday for the top secret gift giveaway from noon to 6. Earn 100 points on your My Choice card between 5 a.m. and 5:55 p.m. to receive a mystery gift while supplies last. I appreciate everybody. Here, I feel badly. People are trying to eat, and my voice. Do I sound better than I did?
I mean, when you started, you
were worried.
I was worried you weren't going to make it.
I do sound a little bit better.
Sound a lot better.
All right. Well, thank you.
Taking some kind of magical cure of some kind?
No, you don't sound better. He's just playing along. Everybody else is eating their meal because who is this guy? He's somebody just, you'll like this tweet. He said, what's with the deep voice? You sound like Trumpy tonight.
Well, it's all the smoking you did like Trumpy, right?
Yeah. The one big difference between Trump and I, cigarettes smoked like 1.2 million to zero in our lives.
That's about right.
Boy, I should have saved time for us to do Trumpy stories tonight.
He was a beaut. I mean,
he really was.
I threw a headset at him once. It's my favorite story of all time. It was him, Tom Gamble were doing a show, and he made me so mad. I took my headset off during a break and tried to throw it at him. Of course, it's plugged in, right? And it recoils. It hits Gamble in the head. So my intended target, although I wouldn't have mind throwing something at him a couple times back in the day. But, yeah, I do. I like Trump. And you and I, you know, growing up and watching him and getting a chance to listen to him growing up and then actually doing a show with him like you did and I did, that was pretty cool.
All right, can we agree on that? Let's take the NFL in Europe issue from a couple of different angles. First things first, can we agree that a full-time team in London. I'm reading the Wall Street Journal today. They're talking 2022 or maybe 2025 for a full-time team. That will not work.
I don't see how. The only thing I could think of is if you had a full-time team in London, they'd come over to the States and play for 3 or 4 weeks at a time.
Yeah, that's what it'd have to be.
And vice versa, they'd be at home for 3 and 4 weeks at a time.
Logistically, nightmare.
I think for whatever that team is, man, it's hard enough when you have that the year where the East plays the West.
Yes.
It's hard enough for those teams going cross country a couple of times a year and sometimes maybe a third time a year depending on the way the standings fell.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, doing it last year with the Bengals, I mean, I had a chance to travel with the team a couple of times because I was doing both the TV side and doing my stuff on the web. And I can tell you those trips for me were a grind. Because you're trying to work on the plane, get home, have more work to finish. Look, and you can argue the guys can rest a little bit, but it's not good rest. And then you're home, and suddenly you're getting ready for the next week's game. Those West Coast trips are a grind. I can't imagine trying for a team in London to try to come to the States 2 or 3 different times a year. Now, obviously, teams would have to come to them, but and it would only be one team at a time. But the team in London would, I think, be the team at the disadvantage because they're the ones that have to pack up and go a couple of 3 different times a year.
Can you imagine free agency? I mean, you'd be a loser in who with a choice unless they were desperate.
Or unless they gave you whatever the conversion rate is and made it worth your
while. Would want to go play in London.
I don't either.
I don't see. Now, what they do right now, and there's rotation, what would this work? And I talked with a guy from London last night, a part of this Bengals UK group of fans who get together, and he said that's the great debate. Would we support one team full-time, or do we like the rotation? What if the NFL set it up and worked the buys in where every week there was a game in London and it was 9:30 Sunday morning? Would that work? And they would, during the course of the season, they would get all 32 teams.
Yeah, and that's been talked about. And then you would have the bye. And they do, most teams do get the bye week now. Obviously, the Bengals are one of those.
Yeah.
Not everybody took it. I think early Indy and Jacksonville played, Jacksonville took the bye week. Indy did not take the bye week at that time. But, most teams do. You could conceivably do that, but I think the newness, the freshness of that would eventually wear off. I think for a lot of fans, this is pretty cool. I think even for some of the players, we heard them a little bit. It's kind of cool to do this now, but if you did it every year, I think it would be more or less –
That's
gnashing
a good point.
Your teeth
That's
to go,
a good point.
Oh, we got to go to London again.
I would think if I'm
do
in
this
London,
again?
Yeah, if I'm in London, I think I'd rather have the rotation see Tom Brady come to town
right.
1 week, Aaron Rodgers maybe 1 week, Dallas Cowboys.
What
in
happens
week
if
three
your team for whatever reason bad?
Yes,
it's Browns esque.
Absolutely,
that would not be good whatsoever.
Agreed.
And then
agreed.
You know you could really lose that complete fan base. I get the novelty of it. I think if you want to keep it as a novelty for a handful of weeks, I'm okay with it. I think the thing that's not taken into account is the players and. The season itself is a grind. I mean, even if you're making short trips, it's a grind. And yet you're throwing this trip into the mix on top of it. That's a lot to ask.
When we come back, I'd be interested in your thoughts. Everybody has one on the issue of ratings and the decline in the NFL. I'd like to pick your brain on that as we continue. Okay. Whatever remains in that brain of yours.
It's better than your voice.
He's Richard Skinner. I'm Lance McAllister. Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park, 700 WLW. Hey, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, the place to watch football. Catch amazing specials during all the NFL, UC, and Ohio State games Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We're talking Grippo's Gridiron Grinder, 4 inches foot-long corn dog, field goal fire fries, first down chicken bites, touchdown tacos, beer specials, and more. Don't forget, they're open at 9 Sunday morning. 9 Sunday morning for the Bengals and the Redskins. Richard Skinner, Local12.com, kind enough to hang out with me tonight for 2 hours, rock on assignment with ESPN. There has been much debate, much hand-wringing about why the NFL ratings have dipped significantly across the board for specifically Monday night, Thursday night, and the Sunday night games. Not as much on the Sunday 1 and 4 o'clocks, but some. Is there one reason in your mind to explain that dramatic a drop? Like 18% for the primetime games for those three nights. Is there one reason in particular?
No, and I'd only be surmising, and we've all done it. I think some of it is, could you argue there's oversaturation?
Yes.
I mean, you have a Thursday night game, which isn't always compelling because everybody's got to be on it.
Yep, that's a dumb rule,
team
by
plays
the way.
I agree with you. Yeah, there's the 1 o'clock window. There's all the football that you can watch. I mean, let's face it, a lot of people are watching Red Zone.
Yep.
I know it's funny. Next week being the bye Sunday is a rare Sunday I get a chance to not do anything.
Yeah.
I'll be glued to Red Zone. I won't find a game. I won't watch one game. I'm like everybody else. I'm a fantasy football player who probably has a short attention span that I didn't have years ago.
Yes,
I love
same way.
Red Zone gives me everything I want, and then if one of the games is on and it is compelling at that point, I might flip over to watch it. I think that's part of it. I don't think the quality of the game's that good.
I don't
anymore.
Think so either.
I think that's
there's some real bad teams.
I mean, you can. It's so cookie cutter. It feels like everybody does the same thing, and every game unfolds almost the same way that if you decide to flip it on with 5 minutes to go and it's a 2-touchdown game, one of the things are happening. It's going to end up being a 2-touchdown game that was boring anyway. Or here comes the comeback, and that's all you needed to watch anyway was the last 5 minutes of the comeback. I think that's a big part of it. I think, you know, when you look at the whole Sunday ticket stuff and people going to bars to watch that, I think that probably factors in.
How about officiating and pace of play because of so many flags?
I don't think pace of plays is bad. Is that pace of play in college is way worse. And
yes.
I love college football.
Yes.
I can watch college football for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which sounds odd in contrast to what I'm saying. No, because those games are 4 hours plus.
Yeah.
No, I do think the officiating could be, because I think it is so inconsistent. And I'll use the Bengals-Patriots game as an example.
Ugh.
The play in the end zone in A.J. Green is one of two things. It's either illegal contact because he's contacting him 5 yards down the field, beyond 5 yards down the field, or it's a hold, which still pictures seem to indicate. Okay, you want to give that call away? You didn't see it the way I saw it or anybody. But then the same penalty occurred on Adam Jones. It was probably a lesser incident. And he gets called for defensive holding. And I think that's what frustrates fans is the level of consent. And I think some of it is, unfortunately for the officials, they're being asked to watch so much gray area stuff that it's become just a harder game for them to officiate. I can't tell you what interference is today. I can't tell you what a catch is anymore.
I was just going to say, along with a catch. Yeah.
I wish I could. I can't tell you. You know, I think part of it, too, the Tyler Boyd fumble in the Pittsburgh game was technically ruled the correct way, the way it was. But now what they're doing is they're letting plays go on so long before they blow the whistle because they want to see how plays finish out that stuff that should have been whistled already occurs after the whistle would have blown, and hence in that case, it looked like, couldn't tell because when did the whistle blow? The fumble came out before the whistle. You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that whistle was blown. He's down, period. There's not even a debate about it. So I think that's the unfortunate part of what replay's done. And I wrote a column, and I know it sounded like sour grapes, so I think that's what Steelers fans thought. It really wasn't directed at that. It really was directed at the fact of, you know what, let's just do away with the replay. And I know you're on the opposite stage of that because I think you've always taken the tact, and I'm not telling you you're wrong of you have this great technology.
I've come around to your side.
You have the ability to see all these things, and we do. I mean, you can see a guy's toenail being inbounds on HD TV. But you know what? Humans make mistakes playing the game. Let humans make mistakes officiating the game. At least it's the whole human element, and you can't do a thing about it. You can wring your hands. But I think there's far more today. We scrutinize every single solitary call and play, and the NFL has opened itself up to that.
You know what, and I talked about this last night. One other factor in all this, I find myself becoming like I am during the baseball season. I watch the Reds, and I barely pay any attention to the Sunday night games or the ESPN games because it's just, and you know how baseball is, the regular season rating, the home team
is
the
great.
Regular season great.
Yeah,
I find myself doing that now with the NFL. It's the Bengals, and I just don't care as much about everybody else.
No,
and it's the same. That's how I watch baseball. I'm watching football that way.
Yeah,
now.
And I think, again, it goes back to the saturation.
You know,
in the day, it was, and I had MLB extra innings this year, but I don't think because of my work schedule at the time, I'd watch some of the late games, but wouldn't watch much of it. And, it is. I think the saturation level has just gotten to the point. I think there's a lot. I think it's multiple. And I think the political climate, too. I think people are – it's a very contentious, obviously, political race. And I think people are – you know, I found myself – I would switch to the debate as opposed to watching some. I'd switch to sometimes a political show occasionally instead of a football.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not going to happen next year. It won't happen in mid-November because it'll be over with. So I think there's a lot of factors that are involved with it.
Let's take one final look at last week's point spreads and see who covered the spread. Brought to you by Winschuler's Cheddar Cheese Spreads. For every game time snack, party, or tailgate, spread the fun with a great taste of Winschuler's. Bengals covered at kickoff Sunday. They were an 11.5-point favorite in Vegas.
That was a sweat job there.
They win by 14. Yes, they do cover. The Jaguars did not. They were a 2-point home favorite, lost by 17 to the Raiders. Patriots covered. They beat the Steelers by 11. They entered as a 7.5-point favorite. Down the stretch we'll go. Final segment. I haven't even asked you about the Washington Redskins. A little bit on the Redskins, and we'll squeeze in what we can as we head down the stretch. Roundtable show from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Tommy Tuberville show coming up at 8. Sterling coming up at 9 on 700 WLW. Heading down the stretch, 7:54 on 700 WLW, the Roundtable Show at Belterra Park. Hey, Market Buffet now offers made-to-order pastas. You choose the pasta, choose the sauce, choose the extras. The chef prepares your dish right in front of you. Does a buffet get any better than that? Be sure to visit Market Buffet for the best Sunday brunch from 10:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. And Market Buffet offers breakfast all day long. We've talked so much, we've talked very little about the Washington Redskins. Well, I mentioned to you just in looking on the surface at the numbers, it's almost eerie how similar the teams are from a number of different statistical categories.
Yeah, and I think obviously the one is points scored. You got Washington's 4-3, so they're above 500, yet they've been outscored by 3 points. The Bengals have been outscored every quarter this year, but it's like a 3 to 6 point spread in all the quarters. I think one of the differences, though, the Bengals have really taken care of the football. Four straight games without a turnover. We talked about Andy not turning it over with just the two interceptions. Cousins hasn't been awful, but he's still thrown 6 picks in 7 games. So you're on pace for 15 or so interceptions.
And Matt Jones
fumbles issues. They haven't lost many of those, but he's fumbled it 5 times. Only lost one of those. Cousins actually lost a couple of fumbles too. But eventually, if you keep fumbling it like that once a game, you're going to lose a handful.
Yep.
Now, he's not going to play on Sunday. So my question is, do you know who Robert Kelly is?
I could not tell you where he attended school.
He went to Tulane.
Oh.
But he's going to be their starting running back on Sunday. They do have a guy actually who's their main backup, Chris Thompson.
Yes.
They want to keep him apparently kind of in that third down secondary role. They don't think he's got the body type to maybe take the punishment. So there is that, and then there's the fact that they've done a good job rushing the passer. And the Bengals, as we know, have not done a great job consistently in keeping the pass rush out. I think the Cedric Ogbuehe continuing to see if he rotates with Eric Winston will be something to watch. It seems like that's the direction they're leaning towards, is having him continue to play a couple series, sit a series, play a couple series, sit a series. You're going against a pass rush that's seventh in the NFL in sacks. A
couple of guys,
a couple guys that are a couple dynamic pass rushers. So that'll be something. If you can stay out of those awful situations where they can turn those guys loose, then you should be okay.
Final minute or so, give us an idea for those who have not had a chance or the opportunity to look at your work at local12.com. When I say local12.com, what does that mean for you?
Yeah, the one thing is, I mean, we try to cover it all in through various sources, through AP, through releases, through us doing original content, through some of the stuff that our anchors can do and put up on the air. It's on there from Reds to Bengals. We're obviously Bengals focused, and this is no knock. I mean, in this marketplace, the Bengals generate a lot of clicks for everybody
yes,
and a lot of eyeballs. So it is primarily what I cover when Bengals season's going on. But when it's not, I get a chance to branch out, do some college basketball, do a little bit of Reds. I'm a big high school guy, as you know, so I'm always trying to make sure we got good high school content up as well. So a lot of stuff. And now we've started doing a weekly podcast on Tuesdays with one of our producers, Jed DeMusi. Bengals ready, but I'm going to do a basketball one with a couple of friends of yours
nice.
As well, Chad Brendel and Rick Roaring.
Yes.
And I are going to do one Mondays. I think
Mondays
and Fridays are in basketball season, just to have some content up there. So it's busy, it's hectic, but it's kind of something that we've branded and done pretty well with so far, and hopefully we can continue to keep the numbers up.
You are
on Twitter. It's a numbers game.
Yes, it is. It is. You're on Twitter
at Local12Skinny.
All right,
it's pretty simple. I'm a simple
guy. I cannot thank you enough
for
filling in for Rock tonight. It was tremendous. You were the first person I thought of, and the more I thought about it, I said, let's do 2 hours, and you said, sure, why not?
He took App State, Georgia Southern over you.
Yeah,
I want you to know
that.
I was here for you, and he took App State, Georgia
Southern.
And
let's be honest, you have carried me tonight, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Do I sound any better than the start of the show?
That sounds terrible. It just sounds awful.
I thought I was trending up.
No, I'm trending down.
Trending down?
Yeah. Now, all I want you to do is go home and think about it. Yeah, that's why I want you to go home and think about
it. I'm going to worry about it.
Was it really
all night.
That bad?
I'm going to have to listen to the podcast and get really depressed.
No, you're fine.
Thanks for doing this today.
You bet. Anytime,
Richard Skinner, local12.com. Tommy Tuberville is next. Tommy Galletta filling in for Dan Horde, who's in the air at the moment. Then Sterling will take you 9 to midnight. It's been the Roundtable Show, Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Belterra Park. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, putting up with my voice on the home of the best Bengals coverage, 700 WLW.